Genealogy by Tim, Episode 2. Welcome back for another exciting episode of the Genealogy by Tim podcast. Today is Monday, June 28th, 2021, and I'm recording this episode ahead of my rescheduled genealogy tour of Lancaster, Pennsylvania. I'll talk a little bit today about the rescheduling of my trip, as well as a couple of items of interest that turned up as I was preparing my materials for that trip. That and more coming your way today on Genealogy by Tim. So I was super excited to post the very first episode of my podcast last month. Perhaps a little too excited. I told you all some pretty detailed plans about a cycling tour that I had planned for late June. Then I went ahead and changed all those plans. What got me started on rethinking my cycling tour was my discovery that the Charlotte Dara Walter Genealogical Library, which is part of the Northumberland County Historical Society, is open late on the first Wednesday of every month. I figured that if I pushed my trip back by a week and a half, I might be able to take advantage of that extra time. Once I made that discovery, a number of other things fell into place. I was able to see my father on Father's Day weekend. My girlfriend and I were able to visit her father on his birthday. And lastly, my rescheduled trip will take me near the neighborhood of my girlfriend's mother's home in Harrisburg around the 4th of July weekend, where I hear she has a pretty spectacular view of the local fireworks. So my girlfriend will be driving out there to join me that weekend, and we should all have a pretty good time. So you see how several things worked out better with the tour pushed back a week and a half. The new itinerary, if I can give a rough outline, is that I'll be packing my things today so that I can steal away in the middle of the night, early in the morning, Tuesday morning, June 29th. Depending on how early I leave, I might be able to complete a task or two in the city of Lancaster before setting up camp. I'll be researching around the Lancaster area Wednesday and Thursday, and leaving for Harrisburg sometime on Friday, July 2nd. I'll be spending the weekend in Harrisburg, and then making my way up to Sunbury, Northumberland County on Monday, July 5th. At this point, I'll play it by ear. If I finish my research quickly, I could start heading home as early as Tuesday, July 6th, but I could stay in Sunbury as late as Thursday, July 8th. After which I will be starting the long haul home. The ride from Sunbury back to Jenkintown will spread across at least 2 days and will pass through the town of Reading, before joining up with the Schuylkill River Trail and back to the Philly metro area. That's the plan for now. I don't think I can back out this time. I think we've made some arrangements for me at the house in Harrisburg. So that is going to be the trip this time. There's no turning back. While I'm on the trip, I'll try to post some YouTube videos as I had for my great trip to Pittsburgh in 2019. The Android app I used to do this was called Vlogit, and the app makes it very easy to shoot several clips, join them together, and post them to YouTube, all from your Android or Apple smartphone. It's perfect for the type of touring work that I do where I'm not always near a decent computer with a video editor. With Vlogit, I can really just shoot, upload, and move on to my next adventure. I'll link in the show notes to the videos that I shot for my Pittsburgh trip, which are still up on YouTube. You might consider making and posting some videos of your own genealogy adventures. Even if you don't think you know anyone who will appreciate it, someone out there on the web surely will, and it will make a great document of your travels and efforts. The app is free, and this has not been a paid endorsement. I really just like the app, and I think you will too. Now, that having been said, I did recently visit the site for the app at Google Play Store, and some of the most recent reviews of the app said that it's gotten harder to use since the last update. So we'll see how it goes. I'll give it a try anyway, and hey, if it works, you'll see the result. I'll be directing you all to my YouTube page upon my return. Okay, it's story time. While I was preparing my family tree for this trip over the past couple weeks, I came across a couple interesting facts and stories. For a longer expose on the Hogendobler family that I'm researching in Lancaster, have a listen to my podcast episode number one. Suffice it to say here that when I go up my family tree to my paternal grandmother, I arrive at a woman who was born Catherine Hogentogler. Her grandfather, John Hogendobler, was a veteran of the Revolutionary War and my qualifying ancestor for the Sons of the American Revolution, of which I am a member. So the Hogendobler family is interesting to me for that reason, and my research for this trip will be centered around two siblings of Catherine, one named Joseph, who lived in Mount Joy, and another named John, who relocated to Sunbury in the 1860s. Well, I came across a pair of interesting facts about each of these siblings over the last couple weeks while I was preparing my family tree to accept the new information that I am bound to find about them during my trip. And the first comes from the Sunbury line of Hogendoblers. And this one was a bit of a shock and a scandal, and I'm proud to say that scandals have been few and far between in my research. The vast majority of my tree, as far as I can tell, has been filled with decent working people who rarely ran into trouble with the law and rarely had shocking and surprising write-ups written about them in the local papers. If there were any scandals in my family tree, they seem to have been well hidden, but this one took me by surprise. When researching the descendants of John Hogendobler of Sunbury, I came across a death certificate for one of his grandsons, John Henry Hogendobler, whose place of death was listed as Greaterford, Montgomery County, Pennsylvania, which is only some 20 miles away from my home in Jenkintown. When I looked more into this place called Greaterford, I learned that there was a prison there, which closed very recently, and John Henry Hogendobler died as an inmate of that prison. The question naturally arises, how did he end up there? This question was answered by a Philadelphia Inquirer article from May of 1941 that was posted on FultonHistory.com. The headline reads, "Farmer found guilty of murder in mercy slaying of ailing wife," with the word mercy written in scare quotes. The Inquirer reporter apparently did not sympathize with John Henry, and neither did the court nor the jury. According to what was in this article, John Henry did himself no favors by changing his story more than once. The version presented to the jury was that John, quote, "put her out of her misery," end quote, because she had an asthmatic cough. Police officers testified, however, that a prior version of his story had his wife, Clara, shooting herself. Another version was that John Henry, quote, "killed her because she refused to give him $1.36, the only money they had in the house, and would not sign a deed that would enable him to get state relief," end quote. That seems an oddly specific alternative motive for the murder, and one which casts some doubt on any later asserted more noble motives. $1.36, by the way, works out to be about $25 when adjusting for inflation. Whatever the actual motive, John Henry's defense was insanity in that he, quote, "had the mind of a 7-year-old, end quote, an assertion that was apparently refuted by a witness. Any way you look at it, this was a tragedy. Whether Clara was suffering, or the family was impoverished, or John Henry was insane, it was just an awful situation for everyone involved. So Clara Hogendobler, née Cressinger, was buried in the Sunbury City Cemetery, which is the cemetery run by the city of Sunbury. And the city has been doing a lot of great work digitizing records for the cemetery and putting them up online, and I'll link to that in the show notes today. Unfortunately for my research, however, the digitized records seem to end at 1940, and this murder occurred in 1941. So, a visit to Sunbury City Hall to find the burial location is likely in my future. As for John Henry Hogendobler, he was found guilty of first-degree murder, and the jury recommended life in prison for him rather than execution by the electric chair. Life in prison for John Henry turned out not to be a very long time. He died at Graterford Prison in May of 1948 from nephrosclerosis due to hypertension. He was 57 years old, and I'm sure there is another story to investigate there regarding the quality of healthcare offered to prisoners, but that'll have to wait for another time. In John Henry's final disposition, his remains were donated to the Anatomical Board of Pennsylvania, where one hopes they were used to build and spread medical knowledge to save other lives. John Henry Hogendobler was my second cousin four times removed, meaning that he was the second cousin of my great-great-grandmother, Cora Klein. And while I am in Sunbury, I intend to uncover more details about this whole situation in the Sunbury local papers that I hope to find at the Northumberland County Historical Society. Not to end the podcast today on such a depressing note, I have one more story, a little serendipitous and not so scandalous. My direct ancestor, Catherine Hogentogler, had siblings John and Joseph. John's grandson, John Henry, is the one we were just talking about who went to prison, but Joseph had a descendant who made news for another reason. Charles A. Hogendobler, a resident of Philadelphia, won a fair amount of money in one of the Philadelphia Inquirer's weekly contests of winter 1938. An article of March 26th of that year describes Charles as a, quote, brawny blacksmith, end quote, who took home winnings alongside of, quote, a fresh-cheeked schoolgirl of 16, a little old lady of 80, and a bright-eyed young wife, end quote. The top winners of the contest earned $750 each. Charles A. Hogendobler, a lower-tier winner, took home only $100, which would have been worth about $1,900 in 2021 dollars. So not a bad take. Not a bad take from this contest. I could use $1,900 myself. I would take that. The article quotes Charles's reactions to the winnings, and it says, quote, "We work puzzles together, my son and I, and I always plan to go 50-50 on any winnings. However, this will be the first time it worked out, for there were never any winnings before," end quote. It would not be the last time either, for Charles was listed as a $10 winner in December of 1939 and as a $5 winner on several other occasions. Those prizes would have been worth about $182 and $91 today, respectively. So Charles and his son were apparently avid puzzlers, and a belated congratulations goes out to them from me some 80 years after their winnings. Perhaps more interestingly for me personally is that Charles A. Hogendobler lived for a time with his father, Frank S. Hogendobler, on 76th Street in Oak Lane, Philadelphia, not far from my current home in Jenkintown. In fact, during the last month of the 2020-2021 school year, I actually rode right past their former home on the way to work every morning. So every morning during my commute, I did not know how close I was to distant relatives. Now, as far as I know, the family does not live there currently. Now, the paper trail has them moving to somewhere in Delaware County, but it is quite nice to know that I likely have some distant Hogendobler cousins in the Philadelphia metropolitan area, and I'd love to hit them up sometime and perhaps buy them a drink at their local Delco pub. One thing I'm still not quite clear on is my exact relationship to Frank S. and Charles A. Hogendobler. Findagrave has posted some relationships that seem specious to me. It has Joseph Hogendobler, who was Catherine's brother, being born in 1807 and dying in 1858. It also has listed as family members two sons, John and Joseph, who were born in the 1830s, and two other sons, including Frank S., being born in the 1850s. Now, color me skeptical, but I'm not so sure that Joseph, born in 1807, had two sons born in the 1830s, and then two other sons born two decades after that in the 1850s. It's not impossible, of course, but I suspect it is more likely that Frank S. is a grandson, not a son, of Joseph. Frank's death certificate from 1938 identifies his father as John, whom I suspect was Joseph's son, born in 1832. All of this I hope to straighten out at the Lancaster County Historical Society, also known as LancasterHistory.org. And I hope to provide copious documentation when I suggest to the memorial's maintainer on Findagrave that the memorial be edited to show that Frank S. was grandson to Joseph, not a son. I have one note of correction to make before wrapping up the podcast today. I mentioned in the first episode that I was participating in Habitat for Humanity's Move for Homes fundraiser event. As it turns out, for insurance purposes, the event has become primarily a walking and running event. Although I am free, by and large, to ride my bike wherever I want and whenever I want this summer, I can no longer officially do so to promote the Habitat for Humanity's Move for Homes, at least not this year. I can run for Habitat for Humanity, and I have been dabbling in doing just that over the last week. It's not in my wheelhouse, really, so I kind of huff and puff all the way around the 5K around the neighborhood, but I cannot ride my bike for them. And while that is unfortunate in my view, I still welcome and encourage you to donate to the Habitat for Humanity wherever and whenever you want, regardless of whether I walk, run, swim, fly, or move in any other way. Link to donate to Habitat for Humanity is in the show notes. It is just now done out of the kindness of your heart and not because I'm participating in a cycling event. That just about does it for this episode. Next month on the podcast, I'll naturally be sharing the highlights of my trip and any amazing documents that I've uncovered. And I'll maybe share some memories of the splendid time I had with family in Harrisburg. Until then, keep on digging. Your next family history adventure awaits.